Hi, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the Kirk Church Podcast. I'm Aaron Elmore, lead pastor at Kirk at the Hills, located in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is where you can hear messages from all our pastors and guest speakers. Make sure to subscribe and share with anyone who follows the Kirk. If you want to know more about us, visit us at thekirk.com, like us on Facebook, or follow us on Instagram at The Kirk Church. Let's get started with today's episode.
Good morning. How are you today? Well, as I'll be sharing the word with you this morning, you are free to say amen. We don't have any patrolmen arresting people who say amen. So feel free to say amen. We rejoice with the Elmore family this morning for the arrival of Nora Grace. We are rejoicing with them and we are happy with them. We are in this series whereby we are talking about the path, and this week is our second week. And last week we talked about the path that it starts with Jesus, and we are on our second part of the path, that it's a costly path. So it's not a fun message this morning, but it's the scripture and it needs to be said as it is. How many people have ever bought a product and there was deceptive marketing, and when you bought the product, you thought, I've been taken for a ride here. Any other people like me? It makes me feel good that I'm not the only one. And in this passage, Jesus was not sugarcoating his message. As churches today, we want people to come and worship. And we might try to put the message not quite as it is and promise health and wealth and stuff like that. But in these scriptures that we are going to study this morning, Jesus was telling the message as it is. And we are going to see two young men who tried to jump onto the bandwagon. And he said, wait a minute. Before you do this, I want you to know what it really means, what it cost for you to be a disciple. If it was today, we would simply have embraced them and come one and come all. But Jesus did it differently. And that's what we will be looking at this morning. We'll be looking at the costly path. Growing up in Africa, I loved the national holidays. And when we had our national holidays, we would have the military band play. We are a landlocked country, so we don't have any navy for that reason. But the top of the line military band that I enjoyed most was the Air Force. And those guys, during Independence Day, the equivalent of July the 4th here, they would come and play the wonderful patriotic songs. And growing up as a kid and as a young man, I always said to myself, when I grow up, I want to be like one of those guys. I want to be like them. But there's something that I didn't know during those days, which was properly enunciated by Bible commentator R.C.H. Lenski. He observes that such a person like myself, like I was, sees the soldiers on parade, fine uniforms, glittering arms, nice instruments, and is eager to join, forgetting that there is a cost to wearing that uniform. In my own words, there are those exhausting matches and training, let alone boot camp. The bloody battles, lost limbs, and graves perhaps unmarked. This is something that I didn't realize, that wearing that uniform comes at a price. There is a cost to wearing that uniform, a cost of the pride of playing in that band. And Jesus, he was saying to those young men that were trying to join him, wait a minute. It's not all about fun. It's not all about excitement. It's not all about the glitz and the glory and the glamour. There is a cost to this path. That's what we are going to look at. We have seen two young men from the scriptures. Thank you for reading the word of God, and thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for what you are doing in our city. She read about two young men. But like all good Presbyterian preachers, we always want to talk about three, right? And then 3 points. So I'm going to follow that tradition. Actually, Luke talks about, in this same story, he talks about three followers. So the Mark talks about two. So the third one will pick him from the book of Luke so that they become three and it becomes a good sermon. The path. Then a teacher of the law came to him. Something is happening here. Bear with me. Now when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came and said to him, "Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." We said there is a cost to discipleship. And a cost leads to some changes that will take place. And the first one, the first change that we see is a change in priorities. This young man had seen the crowds follow Jesus. There was excitement. There was a buzz in the air. There was this new gig in town happening. And he said, "This is so good that I want to follow him. This is exciting." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute." He goes against everything that we believe in, according to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Shelter, like we are talking about, is the basic need for everyone. And Jesus says, the foxes, they do have a place where they call home. the birds, they do have nests. But if you decide to follow me, it's a different story. We know Jesus had a home address in Capernaum. He had a place in Capernaum where he lived. But because of the itinerant nature of his ministry, he relied on well-wishers, people who would provide a place for him to lay his head at night. Whatever city he went into, he relied on well-wishers. He was teaching this young man that when you become a disciple, there is a change in priorities. He was teaching him that life on earth is temporal. The more I do funeral services, the more I realize how temporal life is. The Bible says life is like green grass. Today it's green, it's healthy, and tomorrow it's withered. I was watching yesterday the Euro Championships. Are there any soccer lovers in the house? Amen. Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. I was watching Denmark, Finland, and there is Christian Eriksson, a pro who has passed all the healthy tests that you can imagine, playing in the Italian league and now playing in the European Championships. And it was hard to watch him fall without any sign, without warning. And his heart stopped for 5 minutes yesterday, live on television, being screened worldwide. Healthy. Life is like green grass. In a second, it can be gone just like that. And Jesus understood and he knew how temporal life was and was trying to set the priorities for this young man. What was more important if he decided to follow Christ? Following this path, it leads to a change in priorities. And then the second guy, another one of the disciples, said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me and leave the dead to bury their own dead." This was tough. This is the same Bible that says, "Honor your father and mother," isn't that so? This was blunt. And he said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Jesus, don't you care? Here is the context of the story. Somebody in the Middle East listening to this story would hear it differently from somebody in the West hearing the same story. Why? Because in the Middle East, if somebody dies, they are buried quickly. So Bible commentators, they teach that if this young man's father had truly died, he would have been nowhere near Jesus at that time. He would have been burying his dead father. But what they most likely teach was that his father was ill. And according to their custom, if somebody is ill and they die and they are buried quickly, it took a year before the inheritance was shared amongst the sons. It wasn't a one-day process. So in reality, this young man was saying, "My father is sick. Let me go and take care of him until he dies, until I get my share of my inheritance, then I'll come and follow you." And many times today, we want to follow Christ, And then we have, but let me do this first. I want to go on missions, but my kids are still too young. I'll do it when they grow up. I want to give a big gift to the church, but I really want to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, but I'm still too young. Let me enjoy life. And when I'm ready to settle down and have kids, then I'll follow Christ. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. What was he meaning by that? The Bible teaches that we were all dead in our transgressions. And when we came to Christ, we became alive in Christ. So Christ was saying to him, all those people out there in the village where your father lives, they are dead in their sins. If your father is dead, they will be faithful to bury your dead father. But come to me, come to life, for I am the life and the truth, and I'm also the way. If you come to me, I'll make you a fisher of men. If you walk in this path of discipleship, I'll transform you. Instead of your allegiance being to your family, being to your father, your allegiance needs to go to a higher king. Because if we are praying for his kingdom to come, then he is a king. And he deserves our allegiance. And the Bible says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your... Amen. Following this path, it leads to change in allegiance. It costs you your allegiance. It's no longer your will. Jesus prayed and said, not my will, but your will be done. You are trading your will, your wishes, for what he wants for you and your life. And following this path, it leads to a change in identity. Remember in the first verse, this young man was part of the crowds. As we walk this path of discipleship, you need to make a determination that I don't want to be part of the crowd, but I want to be part of the disciples. These are two different things. The disciple is the one that follows, that learns, that matures, and becomes more like the teacher. That's what discipleship is all about. So it leads to a change in identity. And that's when we go to the scripture in Luke. Yet another one said, that's Luke 9, 61 and 62. I'll follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my house. Jesus said to him, no one who puts a hand onto the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom. We know the farmer is focused. He would walk with that plow, and there should be a straight furrow in front of him. It takes discipline to keep your eyes focused in front. Talking about discipline, remember I talked about the military, that there is a cost. I was looking at one young man who seemed like he's the best thing that has ever happened to the world, and he had his pants hanging down to his knees. And I was looking at him in his eyes, and I said, you know what? This kid needed something that he missed in his life. He should have gone to boot camp in his life. he would have been straightened out for somebody to look up in his face and tell him the truth and inject a little bit of discipline in his life. Being a disciple requires discipline. If there is anyone in this room this morning who tells me that praying comes naturally to them, raise up your hand so that I can see you, so that I can talk to you after this, so that you can tell me your magic. It takes discipline to pray. It takes discipline to read the Word of God. It takes discipline even to come to church on Sunday, like today. This path leads to identity, to change in identity. What do we mean by that? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, everything is new. When you walk this path of discipleship, the old you dies, passes away, and the new you comes. The way you used to talk, if you used to say trash words, curse words, and you thought that was funny, when the new you comes, things change. There is a change in identity. And in the scriptures, we have a woman in the book of Genesis who, when she was told to move out of the city, she thought about the fun times, the good times behind, and she looked behind. And what happened? She perished. When we come to this new life, the baggage that we used to carry, it needs to change. You can't just carry it over as part of the crowd. When you become a disciple, you are a new creature. You are a new creation. You have a new identity, and your identity is in Christ. If people used to look at you, people used to laugh at you, people used to step upon you, when you are in Christ, the Bible says you become the righteousness of God in Christ. You are no longer a piece of trash. You are important. You are a child of God. You are cleansed. You are washed by the blood. Being a disciple, it leads to a change in identity. Amen. John understood something about change in identity. And he tells us something in John 3:30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's where the heart of discipleship, that's what it is all about. This is you. I. Nobody can tell me what to do. This is my life. That's you. And when you decide to be a disciple, this is Christ. And John says, he must increase and I must decrease. Christ increases in me and I decrease. So much that you decrease in yourself, that you come to a point that people will say he or she is Christ-like. That's where we get the first people being called Christians, because they acted like Christ, they talked like Christ, they walked like Christ, they prayed like Christ, and they loved like Christ. And they said, these people are Christians. That's what discipleship is. It's when you decrease and he increases. And Paul says, being conformed to the image of Christ, that we start to look like him, that we start to talk like him, that we start to walk like him. That's the heart of discipleship. But it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. That you die to self and let Christ reign in you. Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you, Father, for calling us to be your disciples. We pray, O Lord, that we'll surrender our hearts to you. That our allegiance and our love will be for you and for you alone. We thank you for touching our hearts. We pray all this in the mighty, matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.